Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to Monday Night Wrestle Radio. Well, technically Monday afternoon. I am so happy. Do you know why? Because not only am I going to WrestleMania, no, that's not the only reason. Not only am I going to NXT TakeOver, bada boom, coolest show in the podcast room. How's it going? It's the one, the only. Yours truly, Brian Rails. And I will be going somewhere. It's called the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. Expect to see guests like Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and many more. Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Trish Stratus, Jacqueline. This would be interesting to see all the legends on Monday Night Raw, including a favorite of mine. You know, I'm going to just tell you right now, I am so excited, thrilled. I got Shawn Michaels' autograph. I got, you know, my friend of mine gave me a figurine, a DX figurine. I got it signed today. It was a lot of fun. I had to stand up, you know, for a long period of time. But anyways, my favorite superstar of all time, aside from Shawn Michaels, aside from, well, I'll just give you a hint. Oh, you get the hint. The Undertaker will be there tonight, ladies and gentlemen, live in New York City. It's going to be a blast. It's a 3-hour show that actually means something and not one you just fall asleep to. So, got to say, guys, tonight on Monday Night Raw, it's going to be a culmination of 25 years. I remember being at the last show. I was 5 years old, Manhattan Center. Sensational Sherry, Randy Savage, Bobby the Brain Heenan tried to get into the arena 3 different times. How do I remember all this? Well, there is such a thing called the WWE Network. So at 5 years old, you're not going to remember crap, and except for the guy who accidentally fell. Cotton candy went flying into my face, but that's a different story. Anyways, the Manhattan Center, I saw them when I was a child. I saw, like, those guys carrying the ring carts into Manhattan Center. And it's like, my goodness, you know, back in the day, the Manhattan Center, and also they're having a celebration in SmackDown Live. It's a 2-day thing. So I guess the New Day will be there, Triple H, Stone Cold, The Undertaker, Mick Foley, Chris Jericho, The Rock. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be bonkers. And why am I not going early? Because I don't want to stand in a long line. I'd rather just go through security and just have me a damn good time, hop on a queue. Oh, it's going to be a blast, folks. I should have gone to the tailgating, but yeah, they don't tailgate in New York, so what am I talking about? They do. If it's a Giants or Yankees game, bro. Trust me. For those of you wondering where I got my shirt, you can get it on the shop on WWE.com, or you can get it, well, where I got one today at the truck for $15, kind of a steal of a deal, you know, to WWE.com, be sure that you have a shop username. It's a lot quicker than having to constantly sign in with an email and then password and all that good jazz. So, in other words, to pick up your Raw 25th anniversary merchandise, go to the website right now. They may have deals. They may have, well, several things on sale in the WWE shop, including tickets to WrestleMania are still available through StubHub, Metro Seats, Vivid Seats, SeatGeek.com, and also Ticketmaster and also Access.com. Be sure to pick up your tickets to see the greatest event in sports entertainment. WrestleMania 34 will be live from New Orleans. Superdome, Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Not the Silverdome like Hogan claimed it to be that one year, WrestleMania 30. Kind of a shame that he thought that. Anyways, forgot introductions. The advertisements. For those of you wanting to go to the Monster Factory, they will provide lodging. They will provide food. They will have a super camp going on April 20th and 21st. Danny Cage has specified that there are deals from $75 to $100, $125, and $275. You do not have to attend both days of the camp. If you want to attend one day, please contact Danny, monsterfactory.org. His phone number is right on there. Be sure you get to the point. His Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So he's in a damn good mood, and hopefully his Eagles will beat the fuck out of the Patriots because, yeah, even though I'm from New York, I honestly don't care for the Cheatriots. I saw evidence. Believe you me, I know this has nothing to do with WWE or wrestling. But for those of us that are cheering for the Eagles, I'll be an Eagles fan for one day. And for all the rest of you fans that cheer for the Patriots, there's only one word to describe you, and I'm going to spell it out for you. S-A-W-F. Soft. Good luck, Eagles. Good luck, Tita Julie. I love you to death, sweetie. Shout outs to you, Eagles fans. You guys are going into a battle against the referees. Because let's face it, the referees is just like good friends with Tom Brady. I mean, after all, look at the celebration. Look at the celebration pick from that one referee's face, right? Anyways, back on the wrestling, go to monsterfactory.org, sign up for his camp. Be sure to message him your flight information if you are coming. April is coming up soon. If you have money to go to all the events prior to that, man, please just go to one day of Danny's Super Camp Monster Factory. I mean, look, Les Thatcher is coming. Get more guests that if you look on the Eventbrite page link that Danny has set up for you, be sure to sign up for a Monster Factory Super Camp. Learn, and learn, and keep learning. Also, speaking of Monster Factory, you want to go sign up for a network? You can do so by going to the Monster Factory website at monsterfactory.org. It'll have all the matches. It will have all the events posted. And there's even a documentary about Monster Factory, the world-famous Monster Factory. You do realize that Sheamus, Gabby Martinez, Punishing Martinez, and occasionally Brutal Bob Evans come through this spot. Not only those guys, those names, but Matthew Riddle, the former Impact Tag Team Champions. I don't know if they still are. But, I mean, a lot of big names come out of the Monster Factory. Speaking of wrestling schools, if you would like to attend a wrestling school in the Midwest, you can go to a school called Brave for Black in Iowa. There's also 3XW, be sure to look up our Brave for Black. Merrick Brave is one of the trainers at Seth Rollins, the famous school by Seth Rollins. Also in Kansas City, I believe there is National Wrestling League, TPC. For more information, go to NWLLeague.com. Click on school, set up an appointment, make your dreams of becoming a professional wrestler, manager, referee, announce team, whatever you want to be, come true. Don't doubt yourself. Start training, and start training well at NWL. There are plenty of schools. Trust me, my friend, if you like to go, do Google. I'm sure you can find them, but you just got to sacrifice, okay? Anyways, that does it for the wrestling schools and the wrestling announcements. Well, wrestling advertisements, that is. For those of you wishing to kick cancer square in the ass, you can go to SusanGComan.org and also Cure for Connor. There are plenty more cancer sponsor-affiliated websites, but please make sure you donate your time, your money, your effort, your ability to make others feel better. You can participate in walks, jogs, marathons, whatever the cause may be, to kick cancer square in the ass. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't seen the documentary on Cure for Connor, please look up on YouTube Cure for Connor, and you'll see how the story for, you know, the fight against pediatric cancer began with a little boy in New Orleans at WrestleMania 30. Is pretty emotional. I suggest you might want to get a clean Xbox because that boy, little boy's story is pretty heartfelt and pretty heartwarming. All right, for those of you wanting to make your other child's wish come true, go to makeawish.com. Be sure that you type in the name of the celebrity, superstar, NBA player, whatever, what have you. Make sure you type in the correct name because I'm pretty sure you don't want to be humiliated in front of your child. And also, you want to make your child's wish come true. So go to makeawish.com, make that happen. For cheaper seats to any wrestling event, sporting event, what have you, go to StubHub.com, where you can exchange, sell, purchase, buy, and get ticket insurance on StubHub.com, where you can find parking passes as well. All right, folks, that does it for the advertisement section. Today here on Wrestle Radio, I advertised that we are going to talk about Monday Night Raw through the years. Now it's known as WWE Raw. So, or you can peg it as however you want it to be. Monday Night Raw began 25 years ago, January 22nd, 1993. My math is way off if I'm going to say that. So look at the dynamic of roster that we have back then and now when speaking of Monday Night Raw. Now, granted, there are many things that have changed. Obviously, the style, the promos, how things are set up, how things are supposed to. But see, the thing is, it's still the same formula. You have your key components, your key ingredients, and it evolved from Hogan, Savage, Piper, Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Kurt Hennig, God rest his soul, Rick Rude, who I don't believe was on Monday Night Raw until 1997 with DX. Sometimes wrestling needs competition. So 93 through 94, you really didn't see very much of anything. You saw the whole feud between Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, which was a hot button issue at the time. I also do believe that Shawn Michaels got into a fight with Mr. Perfect and broke through somebody's vehicle. Shawn's boot did, that is. One of my teachers, I call him my teacher because he's a very good friend of mine, Scott Vita, was on the very first episode of Monday Night Raw against Bastion Booger, of all people. If you recall who that gentleman is, he wore a loincloth. His finishing maneuver is kind of like a bonsai drop, except he'll just sit on you and your shoulders are pinned to the mat, 1, 2, 3. Ah, my God. Okay, so we've evolved from heavy-set characters, larger-than-life cartoonish characters like Yokozuna, Jim Cornette, who's like the annoying villain, you know, that runs his mouth, Then you had Bobby the Brain Heenan, who didn't, you know, he barely lasted a year. And then he went to WCW. So I guess 2 years later, I'm going to fast forward time, because a lot of WWE talent was getting fired or let go for controversial reasons unbeknownst to the fans. And then the Monday Night Wars were born. I'm not going to give exact dates, although it would make it interesting. So while I pull up the date for when WCW began, I'm going to play a little solemn tune for about 10 seconds, folks. So we're going to pause for 10 seconds right here on Wrestle Radio Network.
Bullet Club 4444.
Folks, Monkeys in the Truck pulled up the stats for me. September 4th, 1995. Holy crap, do I feel ancient. I shouldn't really say that because I'm only 30 years old. But September 4th, 1995, that would be around the time when Hogan, Savage, Piper was still in WWE at the time, briefly, until 1996. WCW and WWE lasted, or they were rivals for the longest period of time. So many people came in and out of each organization. It's not even funny. There were big moments in both WCW and WWE where guys like Bret Hart, guys like Bill Goldberg, guys like Mr. Perfect would come back to WWE, but WCW was already dead because, according to this sheet, March 26, 2001 was the very last episode of Monday Nitro. That's ironic, not really, but if you look at the demise of WCW when Ted Turner gave up ownership to when he gave up the ownership of WCW, when he lost ownership and brought in, you know, Vince Russo. So you hear a lot of bad shit. Well, here's the story about Monday Night Wars. Vince Russo, one of the writers, producers for WWE, long time running because the time he was running WWE, look at who he had to work with. This is around the same time where he's had on a story that, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to be a larger-than-life character. You didn't know that. I mean, this character could have flopped. And Stone Cold, whether some people like to admit this or not, he was one of the staple fronts of reasons why Monday Night Wars were a success, because WCW was easily beating WWE, and he watched the videos, and you hear Bischoff say, we had more characters that were relatable to the audience. Organic, if you will. More like, okay, when you're in the business and you hear words like organic and relatable to the audience, meaning like something, a gimmick that could actually fucking catch on, you know, with what people want to see, what they want to hear, what they imagine a villain to be, what they imagine a real life good guy to be. So in other words, the demographic shifted a lot, and WCW was kicking the crap out of WWE at the time. When 97 rolled around, WCW basically was running away with shit ratings wise. They were up at 4.1, 4.6, 4.8. The reason so, because you had guys like Sting, guys like Luger, you know, a huge douche canoe character base, you know, of NWO, Hollywood Hogan, the Giant, Scott Norton, Scott Steiner, Virgil, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. So how did Vince and the rest of WWE answered. You had D-Generation X. You had all these strange groups popping up out of the world, like the Oddities. You had not so much a strange group, but you had the corporation, the corporate ministry. I mean, these are over the years. So when WWE was going head-to-head with WCW in 98, who would have thought a gentleman by the name of Mick Foley? I mean, who would have thought that he brought his craziness from WCW back from his days as Cactus Jack? I mean, he really wasn't succeeding in ECW. They told him if they want hardcore, they're going to have to wait. They're going to have to dumb you down. He'd have the most boring matches. And boy, do I remember, speaking of Mick Foley, being in the venue when all those chairs were getting thrown. Because he hit Lance Storm and him were putting on one hell of a boring match. And I remember Joey Styles running across and beelining it to get to the ring, grabbing the microphone in a hurry. We do not throw chairs. I mean, I vaguely remember it because I was a kid. But Mick Foley has been a part of matches that most people in their career would not want to be involved in. Chicken wire matches. His ear was cut off in Germany when Vader threw him over the top rope because Mick is nuts. Okay? Mick Foley is and will always be a huge part of the Monday Night Wars. As it was documented, you know, not only on the network, but on his DVD. Or DVDs, I should say, even in his book. To this day, you know, he'll go to a school and he'll say, does anybody have any questions for me other than me and how it felt to fall off a 40-foot-high Hell in a Cell? So what does it have to do with the Monday Night Wars? Well, I'll tell you one of the biggest components ever that made me as a kid want to watch wrestling, and that was not just WCW, WWE. Of course, I was subjected to watching ECW because from where I lived, you know, I had access. I lived in New York. So the fun part about this is people forgot about the middle child during the Monday Night Wars. People forgot about ECW invading WWE at one point because, well, let's just face it, Paul Heyman's group was definitely unique. It was definitely different. It was a group that I don't think anybody in their right minds at the time had room for. So before Attitude Era sparked, you don't think that Vince, you know, looked at what ECW was doing because it was getting huge crowd reaction. Although the only problem was ECW was not on the market as well as WWE. Some may say I'm fucking crazy for saying this, but had it not been for the plagiarism of ECW's style of wrestling, WWE would not be where it's at right now. If it weren't for that fateful day when Mick Foley got fired or let go from ECW, I'd say your best bet, WCW would still be around. Because Mick Foley, okay, I watched this documentary, this interesting thing on the network about how he came to WWE, how it was documented that Mick's character was drawn up by a bunch of writers in a room, and he just naturally fit the role for, you know, Mankind. I guess they didn't want Cactus Jack to be introduced, but multiple wrestler personality disorder is what I would classify Mick Foley's gimmick as, because it was such, it was at a time, you know, when WWE was just so sick of all these, you know, you had Goldust, which was the closest thing to getting ratings because he kind of was labeled bizarre. And it was the closest thing to having the gay gimmick before Velveteen Dream and then, what's it called, Orlando Jordan. So, and before Sonny Kiss. So, the interesting thing, or things, or facts that I were stated and presented in this documentary about the Monday Night Wars was WCW would do anything and everything in their power to give away the results of a WWE show. However, here's the problem. When Tony Schiavone did that on Monday Night Raw, Mick Foley was supposed to win the championship off of The Rock. Do you have Mr. Athlete guy, The Rock, who looks like your prototypical WWE superstar? But before I get into that, let's reflect, let's go deeper, shall we? Mick's character, Mankind, was just so putrid and so disgusting and very interesting. I remember as a kid watching Buried Alive versus The Undertaker. A lot of fans were expecting The Undertaker just to destroy this guy. Not a lot of people were able to see like the skill that Mankind had. I mean, you really didn't have a guy that would do boiler room matches, that would do different styles of wrestling, whether it be, well, I wouldn't classify hardcore as strong style, no sir. What I'm talking about is when Mick Foley was in his, you know, when he was using the Mankind gimmick, it was probably the only organic character WWE had because they didn't have the luxury of just sitting back and saying, okay, Foley, you're working with Austin tonight. Foley, you're working with The Rock tonight. One of the highest rated segments ever in WWE Raw history. The Rock, this is your life. At the time he was doing graphics, Foley was just making shit up and pulling it out of his ass when it came to presenting, you know, the characters that were involved in that sketch. And I think it's great. I thought it was great because it was so funny. Foley managed to rework and repackage Mankind all by himself. You had the dart, the Silence of the Lambs looking dude, and the guy who would do crazy, crazy crap, as Ron Simmons put it. Basically, if you watch his matches, this is the kind of guy that you cringe when you watch a wrestling match, because that's how brilliant and scary Mick Foley was at the same time. How did he help the Monday Night Wars succeed? Or how did he help the WWE succeed? I believe that he stuck with what presented best. And that is the JR interview that one night, I think on LiveWire or whenever, it was a segment where Mick just got so dark and he told, you know, true stories of him as a kid. Unfortunately, you know, it's kind of funny. A lot of the time, the Monday Night Wars were going on, this is what happened. I would watch guys like Mick Foley, guys like Stone Cold The Rock, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, China, women like Jacqueline, Ivory, Trish Stratus. And then, you know, you turn on the WCW, I guess the one area lacking from their organization was women's wrestling. You hardly saw any at all. And people hate me for saying this, but what has WCW evolved into? Take a good look at TNA or Global Force Wrestling. Because what WCW did during that time of Foley, you know, in introducing his characters like Dude Love, Mankind again, Cactus Jack, Corporate Mankind. I mean, there were just several, there's just several variations of Foley. So how and why does this affect me as a person? Let me tell you. I'd say your best bet of why the WWE can succeed in any areas because they've got a company that runs not just on autopilot, but it has evolved. If WCW tried to compete now with WWE, would there be such a thing as similar to the NXT training developmental and also the stuff that they have to go through as a young talent just to get where they're at? There's a lot of factors, folks, that most people don't know. For example, when WCW's Tony Schiavone decided to say, hey, Mick Foley, formerly known as Cactus Jack, is going to win the WWE Heavyweight Championship. Okay, well, that backfired. I, as a kid, remember changing the channel because I remember, I believe it was Mick Foley, it was a holiday, so they pre-taped it. I remember changing from TNT to USA to see if that were going to happen. Because back in the day when they still had VCRs, which are probably known as outdated fossils, the only security companies may use VCRs unless they're DVD players as well. I don't even know. They still may. I don't know. They have such a thing called VHS tapes. And that was, those were the good old days, folks, where if you ran out of tape, you're shooting yourself in the foot. So I learned the method of recording, okay? Recording, you had to set up the time and the date on these little, the remotes themselves helped set up the time to where you could record the channel and the time that you wanted it to end. Remember those good old days? Because if you don't, I mean, it's okay. But back in my day, we didn't have the luxury of DVRing shit. And DVR is 10 times better than anything in the world, okay? But back in the day, I remember having two TVs, two VCRs, one upstairs, one downstairs. I would record Monday Nitro, and I would record Monday Night Raw. You had to turn the channel to 3 because you saw that white fuzz on the TV. Some TVs had knobs on them, okay? Anyways, so I remember watching Nitro and Raw. And I always wanted to go to one of the shows. Just so happens I didn't go to Nitro probably until my 3rd or 4th grade year at Madison Square Garden. Let me tell you, WCW, they put on a hell of a show. I believe Sting, he became world champ. He evolved his character, so WCW was doing really good shit. How was my experience at the show in WCW? It was a lot of fun, man. As a kid, you don't think of, okay, this gimmick, that gimmick, yo, he's a heel, he's a babyface. You just want to fucking, because you're a kid, your mentality is you want to enjoy. So, yes, I had a good time. My very first WWE Raw show. That one was in Kansas City. I was visiting, and I saw it, and let's see here, with my dad, my cousin, my uncle, and a friend of mine. We all sat. Not in the, yeah, I wouldn't classify it as the nosebleed because I could still fucking see. It was lower level seats. It was the old Kemper Arena. It was back in the days when DX was first around. Bret Hart had a dark match versus The Undertaker for the WWF title. It was also the date when Brian Pillman passed away, so yeah. Oh, man, that was back in the day when wrestling had pyro. Pyro's a big part of a show. Does pyro make the show? No, the wrestlers do. But at the same token, it was a lot of fun to just get jolted by those fireworks and scream your head off and just have a damn good fucking time. Now, okay, if I'm comparing Raw to from back then to now, they still have interesting builds, if you will. And they have interesting character relations. There were more edgy stories back then, or more edgy clips, if you will, between Trish Stratus and Vince McMahon. One where Trish and Stephanie got into it, and Stephanie threw urinal cakes all over Trish and nasty, nasty shit all over Trish. There was different women matches back then, too. Let me tell you, bra and panties, lingerie pillow fights. Oh, and my personal favorite, paddle on a pole match, or Raw Roulette, when Eric Bischoff took over for Monday Night Raw at one point. As a general manager, he came in as a GM. So that was a cold day in hell moment where you ever saw Vince McMahon, you know, hugging the man who tried to put him out of business, which I find hilarious. I mean, it's one of those things where there's so much shit to cover when you talk about the Monday Night Wars and where WWE is, Raw is now versus where it was back in the day. My favorite moment. Terry from Lenexa, Kansas is asking me what my favorite Raw moment was. There's a tie. One of those, I believe, would be the beer truck moment, the Stone Cold Steve Austin spraying the corporation with beer. The other moment, Kurt Angle's milk truck moment, that was hilarious. Then the other moment, I believe, was, let's see here, when Jericho appears on Monday Night Raw. My all-time favorite, my friends, is when CM Punk held the show hostage and basically dropped fucking biggest pipe bomb or pipe bombs ever. And I know I sound like a mark because they're like, oh, you like CM Punk. Guys, I find it very curious that they posted his Raw moment at number 2. Or even to be even posted on the countdown is a big, big deal. Because to be quite honest with you, I find it to be interesting to say the least from his tenure at or on WWE. Now, WWE over the years, I'm going to admit something to you guys, from 2008 to about somewhere in between 2009, I was pissed at WWE. It was not the same. I used to watch Monday Night Raw. It became so bad to the point where I would not turn on the TV and watch it. So I know their show really didn't care if I watched or if people stopped watching. They will still go on. They are a titan. They are a machine. You know, honestly, Kylie, to be honest with you, I think the women back then, they wanted to be taken seriously, but you didn't have big company, you know, side companies like, not side companies, but companies like Ring of Honor and companies like New Japan that created imports for WWE talent. Shinsuke Nakamura, Finn Balor, Sasha Banks, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, the list goes on. I believe back in the day, the WWE's competition comprised of the territories. And I don't think ECW is a territory, Glenn. I honestly, Glenn from Sarasota, Florida. Okay. So you're saying to me that WWE really doesn't have any competition. Come on, guys. Ring of Honor. Oh, yeah. I firmly believe it. There just happens to be that one point or those few points that what you just said, and now I'm reading from Terry from, oh my goodness, all the way from Perth, Australia. Hello, what's up? Well, I don't believe that NXT would exist back in the day because if you're going to develop people to basically swear, bleed, and do things that are kind of ECW style, then they wouldn't last. Characters like The Miz would work out in a, you know, in any era because if you put him to the test, like we've seen, he can always find ways to adapt. That's why Triple H and Stephanie and all the talent relations hired him. That's why the producers, they saw The Miz as a formidable talent. So for that statement, I'm just going to say if you're not a fan of someone, please keep it to yourself or discuss amongst people who are fans of other people or not fans of them, my bad. Let me rephrase that. If you're not a fan of John Cena, if you're not a The Miz, you can say whatever the fuck you feel because that's what social media is for, and you can gripe and bitch to your heart's content. But just a word of advice, man. Do not do that shit repeatedly and annoyingly during the show because I had to put up with it in Houston. I'm not putting up with it. You know, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just not going to listen to it. So that way I can enjoy the show, and that way you can enjoy being a bitch. To further answer the questions of what I went through as a Monday Night Wars avid watcher of the Monday Night Wars, I would say my other favorites in this involved in this were Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit. I did like Dean Malenko, because, you know, he added, like, a certain flavor to it. And I remember shows like Thunder were around on Thursday. So WWE created a competitor for that show and our competitive name, SmackDown, 1999. So here's the interesting part. I do believe that Monday Night Raw over the 25 years has outlasted sitcoms like Family Matters, Boy Meets World, Step by Step. They've outlasted American Idol, and now it's coming back. So when you take a look at how they compare to other shows like Monday Night Football, there's a lot of shows on Monday nights, but let me just touch on this. WWE Raw is interesting to say. I like every aspect of it except for a few. I'm very picky, but that's just me. As a fan, I have a right to say what I like and what I dislike. What I don't have a right to say is, okay, if you were to book him heel, this would make so much more sense. I have a right to say that. Yeah, you have a right to say that. What I'm saying is, if you were to book an entire show, just think on this, guys. This show's been around for 25 years, so they must be doing something right. That's why they keep selling tickets. That's why people keep buying T-shirts. That's why if you keep blaming Vince McMahon, I'm going to tell you right now, he's not the center to blame. Yes, he created the show, but at the same token, there are other producers around him for which you could blame, and you can look at the dirt sheets to find their names, because I'm not going to do that shit. I know. I gripe a lot. I also bitch a lot. But we're not here to discuss me. We're here to discuss a show that's been on for 25 years and had some very memorable moments. One of those moments, JBL gets his limo bashed out by Crime Time. I miss those guys. I really do. I think if I'm not mistaken, I've got to hop on a train here pretty soon, ladies and gents, and head off to Monday Night Raw, the 25th anniversary edition. I already got an autograph from Shawn Michaels and Scott Hall today, and it was a lot of fun. So, oh, there are any autograph sessions. You got to check online, and that's how you get to these autograph sessions. Yes, it was a lot of fun, yo. You know what? I believe you can find most of his merchandise online. You can find the old Shawn Michaels gloves. Okay. Yeah, I would check eBay, Amazon, or any other website that may produce it. So, it's whatever. All right. So, what can we look forward to tonight with this 3-hour production of Monday Night Raw? Sometimes I fall asleep watching it, but other times, you know, I'm all ears, I'm all eyes, but I have to watch it because I'm a broadcast journalist. So what will it bring tonight that will make the show worthwhile watching? Oh, thank God. Here's the thing. This question comes very at an interesting time. Do I think if Paul Bearer was still alive, do I think that The Undertaker would still be around 24/7 instead of having a Legends contract? To answer your question, Logan from Omaha, Nebraska. By the way, these questions are coming in from Wrestle_Radio. For those of you wishing to call the show, you can do so. Call toll-free number. It is on the website, folks. It's not that difficult. So, while I'm answering your question, sir, if you want to call in, you can. 213-943-3422. That's 213-943-3422. It's free to call in, folks. You don't have to pay to call. I'm not one of those toll-free hotline numbers where you can bitch just to bitch. Okay, if you want to bitch on here, that's fine. Okay, so what this question is asking is, would Paul Bearer make a difference to The Undertaker showing up like Heyman, showing up for Lesnar? If Heyman didn't show up, do you think Lesnar would show up? Honestly, that's a good question, or a good set of questions. I'm going to answer this question in two parts. One, The Undertaker really didn't need Paul Bearer, but Paul Bearer helped give The Undertaker's character life. The Undertaker was supposed to be like this dark, ominous being from a different realm, parts unknown, Death Valley, you know, whatever, wherever he came from, okay? Paul Bearer was the character that helped get flavor. And by giving flavor, back in the day when your manager heavy, Joe Cornette, Mr. Fuji, DiBiase, I still will say this. Yes, he was a former worker, but I classify him as a manager or a business associate, whatever you want to call him, if you don't want to give managers credit. What Paul Bearer did was he helped elevate people like Paul Heyman, helped elevate Brock Lesnar, tried to help elevate Ryback. That was just a lost cause, in my opinion. You have Dutch Mantel or, Jack Swagger's old manager who, is confusing what role he played, but he was a part of Raw, believe it or not, back in the day. And boy, was it ever interesting. So, Paul Bearer, to answer your question, yes. I believe that The Undertaker still would have shown up. I do now on Heyman. Heyman is a blend of personality, but he's got his own villain-like vibe. And would he make a difference in Lesnar showing up? Yes. Brock Lesnar without Paul Heyman, It's very, he's very bland. There's no introduction. There's no hype man. So Heyman works as his hype man. I would say no, Lesnar would not show up. And that's just my opinion, because Lesnar is kind of the character that he just speaks with his actions. So if you're going to build him like that, however you want to put him, however you want to put it, it's really sad, but it's true. WWE has built Paul Heyman as this mega hype man to give Brock Lesnar some credibility. And yeah, Brock Lesnar did come up with the Suplex City bitch, because it makes sense. And it's not abnormal for when a wrestler comes up with his own catchphrase. And look at Stone Cold Steve Austin. Look at over the years with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He used to be known as Stunning Steve in WCW. And then as far as the Monday Night Wars go, I don't think WCW ever had an answer to Stone Cold. They didn't have an answer to Mick Foley. The craziest person that ever came after Mick Foley, Raven, Perry Saturn. So yes, ECW was floating on cloud nine at one point until their talent started to circle around WCW, circle around ECW. By circle, they were in and out. They'd come back, they'd go back to WCW or WWE. Rick Rude is the only dude I know that went through all three. Stone Cold, yes. Mick Foley, yes. Guy by the name of Hurricane Helms, or Hurricane. There's some interesting characters people forget, like Jamal and Rosie. Well, you know, they were 3-minute warning, and then they were cartooned really bad. Yokozuna. I saw some early Yokozuna match versus Ron Simmons. Yokozuna's character in 1993. I mean, he's definitely an interesting guy. He's a gargantuan, a huge motherfucker. This dude had a move called the Banzai. And if he, you know, he was very slow, methodical in beating you up. And then when you least expect it, didn't lower a leg, but if he leg dropped you, you looked like a pancake on a griddle, okay? Vader was just absolutely bonkers. I mean, he just, his character for Monday Night Raw was one of those guys that you didn't want to piss off because you felt, well, if one guy's going to get punished, I don't want to get punished, so let Vader do it for me. Or if I'm the guy facing Vader, how fuck am I going to plan this match to make me have any shine at all? Shawn Michaels versus Vader, oh, there's a lot of backstories around that, but I'm not going to go through them. okay, my favorite Raw memory. I've already been through this. Jericho showing up on Raw, Stone Cold Steve Austin spraying the corporation with beer, CM Punk holding Raw hostage is probably my favorite, because you seldom have a guy that sits there and tells the truth about the company. And when Dolph Ziggler did it on SmackDown Live, it kind of lost its luster. There really was no place for him. So, if I'm thinking about this logically, folks, over the years, WWE's obviously survived a lot of recessions, a lot of times when wrestling was not so popular. Monday Night Raw is the show that basically solidified not only Monday Night Wars, but it gave the people like me and like my friend and another friend and friends after that. I'm not going to give you a friends list, but what I'm going to tell you is Monday Night Raw gave people some semblance of an escape from reality. That's what wrestling is supposed to do for a fan. Okay? It's definitely hard to describe to a UFC fan, to any other general person, because they'll make fun of you for it. They'll say, all wrestling, that fake shit. It's okay because they don't understand what, you know, what entertainment is, because to them, entertainment's different. Entertainment could be going out on the stoop, you know, talking to your friends and bullshitting and procrastinating what you want to do with your life. Or it could be going to a party and having fun, lighting up, blazing up, drinking. Okay, most people really think that I'm not a party goer. I really am not. If a friend invites me, sure, you know. Out of happenstance, yes, because wrestling has turned into my life. I work, so I guess I do kind of have a semblance of a real normal person life. But what I'm getting at is, because in the next 2 minutes, I'll explain why things are the way they are on Monday Night Raw, from my perspective. Of course, you know, it's only got 30 minutes, but hey, why the hell not? Oh, and by the way, like I said, there's some cosmetic makeovers that are going on right now on Wrestle Radio. I decided to give it some old school flavor because why not? And speaking of which, you know, old school. Old school Monday Night Raw was very... It was at a time when sports were just beating the crap out of it. Monday Night Football, you know, you had superstars like Marcus Allen, you had superstars like Lawrence Taylor, you had Michael Jordan, King Griffey Jr., and those guys loved watching wrestling. Because obviously, look, Lawrence Taylor got involved in the Royal Rumble. Why even, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers, not during the 90s, but during later on, 2008, got involved on a Monday Night Raw. It was fairly interesting, to say the least. So there's been a lot of celebrity collaborations on Monday Night Raw. There's been, you know, you see people like Ronda Rousey. You see people that never thought would in a million years would show up, like Mike Tyson. I remember the Monday Night Raw when Mike Tyson showed up to confront Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was the enforcer, supposedly the enforcer for D-Generation X. It was great. Vince McMahon, he sometimes is an overactor, as Mick Foley puts it, but he's great, great individual who obviously puts time and effort into putting together this show we call Monday Night Raw. So, folks, before I dive into Off the Rails Wrestle Radio Edition, is there any other questions that you guys would like to ask me? Okay, so we have from Bermuth. Is that how you say it? Bermuth one? Bermuth, England. Okay. Why the hate on Paige? I could go into that if you really want me to and just put it in perspective. I don't hate her, the wrestler. I just don't like the way what she's done from a personal perspective. Okay. I think that if she had, you know, if she had any semblance, any class whatsoever, then there'd be no problem. She slept with a married man. And when you go through that experience yourself, then you kind of lean towards, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I'm still not going to change my opinion on her. All right, folks. Time for some added new flavor on Off the Rails Wrestle Radio. I'll try and shorten this, but not really. I'm just going to let you enjoy. Have fun.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Look in
It sounds nothing different from the original off the rail theme, but I figured I might differentiate the themes, even though they're by the same group, and even though it's just the re-recorded version. I do not own the rights nor the copyright to Living Colors Cult of Personality. All rights reserved. All right, folks. My true thoughts on Monday Night Raw are kind of similar to the beginning thoughts during the program. If you honestly believe that Monday Night Raw is going to be great, that's great. I honestly think you have legends showing up, so this should be great. As I said, I'm going to have to hurry things up because I got to hop on a train, which will take me 30, 45 minutes to get to where I'm going. But here's the thing. I've watched Monday Night Raw for all 25 years. I don't recall some of the episodes because I was probably too young to recall them. But over the years, I've seen some pretty crappy wrestling, and over the years, I've seen some pretty awesome style wrestling. Crappy meaning the builds were just god-awful. It was oversaturated. The product was oversaturated on Monday Night Raw, but here's the funny part. I still was drawn into it, and I still watched it. So I guess you could say, over the years, I've seen guys come and go out of each company, and now one company is gone and produced a guy like AJ Styles, WCW. WCW compared to WWE. Now, I'm not going to lie. I watched both companies because as a fan, you had options in life. Now you've got options, but you've got Ring of Honor and you've got the fans who flock to CZW, the fans who flock anywhere, period, that involves a wrestling ring and some guys that can actually fucking work. WWE Raw at times can be boring, it can be stale, but other times it can have its peaks, its valleys. That's a show. I personally, when I watch this shit, sometimes I want to just put my head in the sand and bury it. Sometimes I watch the show and say, hey, it was a pretty damn decent show. And other times, you know, I'll converse with the people about the continuity of the show or the relevancy of Monday Night Raw. It's interesting because not just through watching Raw, but watching some shows in Ring of Honor with Dalton Castle and Cody Rhodes and all this other stuff. And you hear people say, oh, at least it's not as good as a Raw gimmick. You know, it's interesting. I want to talk to you all about this. This is kind of interesting to me. It's called discussion. People discuss things. They talk about it. They drink coffee over. I don't drink that bullshit. So here's the thing. I know people drink coffee. More respect to you. I be wired more so than usual. And trust me, it wouldn't work out. But the point is, you discuss wrestling, right? Monday Night Raw has been a discussion point, even if you hate it. That's the brilliance of it. So even if you hate something, you're still giving it credibility because people, I'll admit this, when WWE was at its best, this point is debated over and over and over again. The Attitude Era was the best era for wrestling. At a point in time when everyone and their mother was watching wrestling, even my family would say, why are you not watching Monday Night Football? Why aren't you watching, why are you watching wrestling? My simple answer was, I'm going to tape WCW Nitro. And then I discovered WWE was like fixing their shit. So I decided, you know, I would buy, with my allowance, I would buy WWE a tape for a VHS recording. I would label it WWE Raw, and then I would label Nitro and try to draw the WCW logo. Like, it was funny. So a lot of this discussion is solely based off the Monday Night Wars. No, a lot of this discussion is how fans, we've evolved somewhat. Some people just follow trends. some people might have liked wrestling since they were a kid. That'd be me. I've watched this shit, guys, evolve into what it's evolved into, and I've not seen a resounding change. So, to be quite honest with you, all I'm going to say is Monday Night Raw, despite it being the way it is, I don't think people realize this. Whether you fall asleep during the show, whether you have some notion to say this show sucks, still watched it. You still turned it on. You still wrote about it in a blog. So you're giving it credibility. You're saying the way it was booked was terrible. Do you think they care? They've heard that before Raw was a sensation, before it was a machine. For me, for what I've seen fans and how they discuss things, not only Monday Night Raw, it's more or less, am I in a booking room or am I in a wrestling fan room? I can always tell the difference. Because why? When you've worked in wrestling, you don't know everything. When you're a fan, you assume you know everything, but you don't. Dirt sheets are your enemy. You know, we sit there and fucking read it as broadcast journalists. It's your fucking enemy. Like, you hear about wrestlers, it's like the tabloids all over. Paige got injured, she can't work, blah, 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 blah. Jason Jordan, also injured, may not be able to work, and he's been pulled from shows. Again, I would rather, you know, watch a show without having someone come up behind me saying, oh, man, did they turn him heel yet? Some of you have that fucking bad habit. And when I watched Monday Night Raw, you know, last week, so the fuck what if you don't like Jason Jordan? Yes, he can bore people to tears, but he's the only formidable replacement because people were griping and bitching and bellyaching about the Balor Club. Let me just talk about, since I'm talking about fans, I love you to death. I think you're great. I believe you're awesome, and I know that you're awesome. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't have this show. Thank you, Japan. Thank you, Australia. Thank you, Canada. All that good jazz. To be honest with you, I'm a firm believer in open honesty policy, and that is sometimes it's a chore to sit at a show and listen to conversation. So in other words, if I had the ability to put headphones on, I would, but it's a live show. So why am I going to tonight's show? Because it's interesting. I was there for the first show, and now I'm there for the 25th show, or the 25th year anniversary. It is a big deal because despite me being angry with the show sometimes, and actually majority of the time, why put myself in harm's way when all I'm going to get is, oh my God, we heard you bitching and griping on your show, so are you the pot or the kettle? All I'm going to fucking tell you is I love wrestling. I love it to where I want to marry it someday, but I'm not that creepy and I don't have a ring on hand to say, hi, wrestling, would you marry me? Get the fuck out of here with that shit. WWE Raw has seen a lot of good names come and go, like Owen Hart, Eddie Guerrero, Brian Pillman, Kurt Hennig. Not just those gentlemen, but Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Roddy Piper. There's a long list. Fabulous Moolah, Mae Young. There's a lot of memories that I as a child have about Monday Night Raw. When I was in middle school, I remember going to an autograph session for Shawn Michaels, ironically, and telling him, the Heartbreak Kid, the greatest wrestler alive today. Probably, you know, one of the biggest things about watching this show tonight when I sit in this arena is I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to cry just inside, because it's a big deal, you know, for my age group's generation to see what's actually being presented to us as a show versus what's presented or was presented back then when they had to wing shit and basically fight for their careers, because WCW at the time was trying anything and everything in their power to drive WWE under, they're trying to put them under a rug and, you know, just be like, bye. And they almost succeeded. The problem is the NWO, too many cooks in the kitchen. Just going to sum it up like that. Okay. When you have too many people trying to run shit, that's when your organization goes to shit. And also when circumstances be circumstances, look, WWE was just on a roll. They were the alliance, that story, I felt was a huge deal. It was a one and done. I mean, yeah, you can call it a one night stand, no pun intended. Was I really a big fan of ECW? Yes. I remember guys like Jerry Lynn. I remember when Chris Jericho was in ECW for a hiccup. I remember when Rey Mysterio was there for a day and then just left. Oh, yeah, let's talk about ECW, shall we? ECW, basically, before Attitude Era was born, they created it. So when people say phrases like, you know, the Attitude Era was the best, you can't say WWE wouldn't exist without ECW. Because with the watered-down version of it in 2008 or 9, I believe, when Paul Heyman had to basically swallow the bitter pill of let's WWEize the ECW roster with people with characters like Kevin Thorne and Ariel. I mean, it was close to controversial, but not really. The reason why I say this, guys, the reason why WWE was such a success, people want to center it around Stone Cold. Yeah, he's huge, man. He was 97 to 2004. That's pretty much, I mean, he's come back, he's left, he's come back, he's left. His name forever be etched in history, Mick Foley. Basically a guy that people classify in the wrestling world as the human stunt man, the crazy son of a bitch, the guy who helped pave the way for future WWE superstars, because if it weren't for Mick Foley, the WWE would not be where it's at. If it weren't for guys like Hogan, guys like Piper, Savage, Jake the Snake, Ultimate Warrior, I mean, the list goes on and on. To be quite honest, guys, to be honest, a lot. Because honesty is the best policy, right? Monday Night Raw sucked balls the very first 2 years that it was on. Did it have ratings? Yeah. Before WCW Nitro, it was in the toilet. Let's just be honest. Because a lot of, like I said, it was a revolving door. You had talent like Sherry. You had talent like Mean Gene and Bobby the Brain and Kurt Hennig. And El Shivani moved from there in the mid-80s to go to WCW. Jesse the Body Ventura. Hulk Hogan. In the list, the big two were Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. They played a vital role for WCW, so they were the equivalent to Mick Foley, but not quite. You see, because, like I said, WCW went through a makeover, and it just petered out. It fucking didn't work, and it went to shit. They went to makeover. It's called NWO. NWO came, it was fine when it was just three, and then it expanded from three to five, five to eight, 10, 12, 14. There are literally 20 roster members on WCW side that were in the NWO. I can list some of them. Scott Steiner, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Fake Sting, Virgil, Ted DiBiase, Kurt Hennig. I could go on at Great Muda. There's a ton of people that still believe the NWO was the greatest thing. Now we have a group called the Bullet Club, and I think it's kind of oversaturated, and I give the two-seat symbol. I love it to death, so it's not oversaturated, my friend. It's the cultural phenomenon in the wrestling world, that is. All right, folks. Here's my favorite part. You ask me questions, and I'll answer them. Here's the answer to the question about why the Bullet Club is just a ripoff of NWO. Look at the symbol. Actually, that started not just with the NWO, it was part of the clique. Take a good look at old pictures. You'll see. All right, so 25 years ago, Monday Night Raw was a thing. And I remember thinking, this is the coolest thing ever as a kid to see all these big dudes beating the crap out of each other. And whether you loved it or you hated it since then, let's be honest, Monday Night Raw was not that great for a couple years, up until September 4th, 1985. You think about it, WCW kind of helped WWE in a weird kind of way, because the explanation of as to why Vince got more creative and the juices kept going, he hasn't stopped his creativity, guys. He's just taking a breather. He's got grandkids now. You know, Triple H is obviously more involved with the company because his baby's NXT. He's part of production. He's, you know, more than production. I mean, this guy also goes out and works live shows around the world. So from where WWE Raw was then to where it is now, I think collectively we all as fans can think, okay, it's crappy, it's not crappy, it's in between, these bookings were okay. The way they book matches now compared to where they booked them back then, hell, dude, you had talent running around. Now you got talent running around. It's all about how you serve it as a fan, how you serve the business as a fan. What am I talking about? Serving the business as a fan, meaning watching and shutting the mouth during, you know, unless you have a friend, it's okay. But watching, having taking pictures, you know, getting autographs, and just here's the thought, guys. Then the podcast, you all focus on, well, this is going to be a shitty night tonight, yada, yada. Give it a chance. If it's crappy, we'll obviously let you know. I will obviously let you know. Oh, and by the way, I do want to cover something that I haven't covered in a while. I have been looking for a co-host, and I think on that journey of looking for a co-host to discuss things like Monday Night Raw and how crappy it's been in the past, 2017, 16, 15, and so on, I believe that I have found a co-host. He will not be joining me, or she will not be joining me, or he will not be joining me until the end of this month or in the beginning of March. So stay tuned, ladies and germs and giblets. I will find a suitable co-host because Wrestle Radio is getting a makeover. No, we're not talking about the ones you see on NBC or ABC. We are just talking about cosmetic makeovers that will be aesthetically pleasing to the listeners' ears. Because, yes, I can babble on. And on, and on, and on. like Energizer Bunny, can go keep going, keep going, keep going, I can just keep babbling, babbling, and babbling. But I need someone to balance it out. So, yeah, that covered that area. Monday Night Raw is going to be interesting, to say the least, because of all the legends that I will be seeing. Very, very interesting. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, the APA. More of the roster will be there tonight, also because it's New York and we're very spoiled. I will definitely take pictures. I will post them on Instagram at wrestle_radio. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can call in the number. It is free. You can bitch for free. Although you can download some of the episodes. It's cool. Yeah, wrestle_radio. The phone number is even on the freaking advertisements. 213-943-3422. You know what? Here's the thing. It's nice to sit and be cool and cordial about this shit, but here's what I say. Just be honest if you hate something. Just be honest if you're going to sit here and bitch on my podcast, man. Oh, thank God, we finally got a question. Right here on Wrestle Radio Network. Do I think Ring of Honor will ever keep injecting their talent into WWE just so WWE has some form? Well, they obviously, look, guys, Leo Rush, I don't think is going in the right direction at all. Will Dalton Castle ever be in WWE? Do you think? I don't know. But I wish Marty Scurll would be a part of Monday Night Raw. You give it flavor if they don't dumb him down. Also Tyler Bate and also Pete Dunne. They're more characters that are relatable. They put on damn decent matches, yo. I believe. So, what are my final thoughts on Monday Night Raw? Well, I got 5 minutes left to discuss and basically relay how I feel. Monday Night Raw over the years, I've seen a lot of instances where it's not great. And how is it not great? You had William Regal as the general manager on Raw trying to run crap. They tried a lot of trial and error gimmicks that didn't work. Some people argue with me and say, that's the best gimmick in the world. I don't know what you're talking about. Or that was the best time. I'm not everybody, and I have an opinion too. So here's what I can tell you. When you are faction heavy in WWE, like New Day, the Bullet Club, the Balor Club, Jinder Mahal and the Singh Brothers, the list goes on and on. It's hard to keep up with today's product, but you know what? It's funny. You keep up with it because you're a broadcast journalist and you got to keep up with things like Noah and the return of TM61 to NXT after a year of injury between the two. So what I'm saying is it's easy for fans to be like, oh, well, Raw's just terrible and that's why I stick to Ring of Honor. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. There's certain types of wrestling fans. There's the snobs. There's the ones who have evolved themselves from bloggers to going there and bitching and having their own show, so they call it a podcast. Moi, I didn't have a blog, but I did used to gripe on a video on Daily Motion. You can still find those, by the way. Then there's the fans who mark out for themselves. And then there's the fans that say, oh, Raw is going to be terrible. It's just a bunch of the crock of shit. full of legends who only show up when it's a special occasion. Then there are the fans who are really badass and they can sit there and conversate with you and actually speak your language. In other words, like-minded individuals. I'm going to discuss with you the different types of fans because why? I can and I will. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, is I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Toodles, bitches, I got to catch a cue. I'm going to have fun tonight. Bye. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be. The cult of personality.